Due to unforeseen difficulties, this program maker is not available now, so we pause for a musical break.
beside me. I reach out for your hand to see your arm extended, outstretched towards me. You are dawn of veil, by your light others pale by comparison. Place my faith in love, my faith in this communion. I've been having dreams and visions, in them you are always standing right beside me. I reach out for your hand to see your arms extended, outstretched towards me. Give my pledge to honor all that's good in this life we're living. Think not only of myself, but of the greater union. Can I get a witness that this salvation and rapture for the your hand to see your arms extended, outstretched towards me. Here I am revealed, all my shame, all my faults and my virtues. Behold, body, mind and spirit, heart and soul devoted all to you.
yeah. heartstrings, and you play without a care. But not up in the High Sierra, you won't play as hard out there. Angels lay their cloths across the sky. They line up for him every night. Some have wings and others sing. The rest do lazy ballets in the air. There he's got a bird to give him warning. Gotta look out to the beauty of the High Sierra, and she's looking out for you. Sky, they light up for him every night. Some have wings and others sing. The rest do lazy ballets in the air. What about the one who said he loved you? What about the one who said he cared? Up in the High Sierra, but don't bother looking there.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. You haven't gotten rid of me that quickly. Good morning. You're tuned into another episode of Update. Yeah, I'm pretty excited. I wasn't quite sure about the COVID-2 restrictions today, but seems okay. Come in. So everybody, good morning. Welcome to another show. You're welcome to tune on in. Update. Here are your friends. Right, let's get straight into it, shall we? You want to know about technology today? If you're interested in tech, well, you won't be able to get it soon, probably, the way big governments are going and the misinformation that the media are all ganging up on big tech, so that they wow, nice, eh? I think the media have got a bit of an interest in trying to push their own agenda here, people. So going to be a bit difficult for you people to look for the truth. The media do not like big tech, and Rupert Murdoch, oh my god, here's the fight. Let's see who wins. So, ladies and gentlemen, yep, so we got on the left-hand corner, Mark Zuckerberg. On the right-hand corner, you've got the big, fat, red-nosed Rupert Murdoch. Rupert the red-nosed robot. Murdoch. Okay, let's get straight into it, people. Okay, wow, interesting. So, this is what I want to happen. I want round one to go to Facebook. Round one needs to go to Facebook. Let's just make this logical. It's not rocket science. We don't trust implicitly Rupert Murdoch to have the entire world media under his thumb. And that's what he's been doing. So, let's just remember what's going on. Rupert Murdoch brought a lot of independent newspapers throughout the years, okay? He's the guy that owns Fox News. He owns Sky in Australia, I believe. He owns huge magazines, publishing companies around the world. Now, Rupert Murdoch is a businessman, all right? Very much a businessman. He's not a sort of a, yeah, he's not some sort of saving humanitarian grace. He's a businessman. So, we've heard enough of his worldview. He pushes it everywhere he goes. It's not very, I don't think it's sophisticated enough. It's just very kind of bombastic with his one-way worldview. Simplistic, pretty primitive, but boring. The world's doing a disservice by not challenging his media empire. But thank God we have the likes of Facebook and Google and YouTube, where people are free to disseminate their own information. So round one is Facebook goods. That's where we challenge the Rupert Murdoch kind of old-fashioned style of news, and we share what we want. So round one's got to go to Facebook. Now you get the twats like Mark Twain, Tane, whoever this guy is, this TVNZ retard, so over there. And they basically think that they keep hating on big tech because they're twats and they don't even understand how to guarantee. You ask any TVNZ, any pretty much walk into TVNZ and say, excuse me, how do I reset the microwave time? They will go, whoa. Yeah, that's TVNZ, guys. I wouldn't take your tech information from them, dare I say it. So what you want to do is let Facebook win this round. Absolutely very important. I'm 50-50 on this because lately I've been wanting to punch Australians in the you-know-what. Because, but it's a bit hard because I respect Australia a lot and I do like what they've done with their economy. They are big and part of it is just pure old jealousy how big and powerful that Australian country is and they're all rich. I think they've been pretty rude to us New Zealanders. But I still don't want to see them make a mistake because, it's, you know, you can't, if someone does something bad to you, you shouldn't gloat if something bad happens to them. And therefore, I don't want Australia to make this mistake, and it is a mistake on Australia's behalf. Australia's making a mistake in not looking after their digital community. They are huge, a lot of money on their mines and coal. But they're making a mistake to not realise that data and software and technology is a very big part of the modern economy. And I think Australia's making a mistake to just use their big old power to say, no, we don't want you, Facebook. And let's not pretend the power balance is as the media tells you, you twats. So please stop listening to this narrative. There's no such thing as big tech and little government. Excuse me. Who owns the nuclear bombs? It's the government, all right? Stop pretending that big tech has the power, people. It's so ridiculous. It's the governments that have the guns, the machines, the police, the hospitals, the passport control office, the ships. The governments are still the power of the world. Really? Okay, so let's just stop playing games. Facebook will be turned off overnight if American government wanted to. The truth is governments generally, especially the American government, wants Facebook to exist. So it's not like American government's going, oh God, so hard, we got this big tech company, we can't handle them. No, America's government knows very well that that's billions and billions and billions of dollars that probably go into the American coffers. So it's not big tech and little government, it's hard-working computer scientists, underpaid, quite frankly, something that none of you could do. None of you people would really know how to do a product like Facebook. You all struggle to adjust your watch. Basically, these guys are big in the sense of they provide a service that 99% of the world can't do themselves. Therefore, 99% of us rely on these tech, smart, hardworking people. That's not a definition of sort of big, colossal. That's just a popular, okay? So don't think of it as big tech. Think of it as popular tech. It's a bit like saying the Beatles, at the height of their fame, was, the big Beatles. Oh, what are we going to do? They're too big. Right. You know, they make music. These guys write software, people, that we use. Facebook doesn't own militia. They don't own make laws. They don't change passport regulations. They don't print their own cash. They don't. My God, they're not. The power is with the government. All right, I don't think Australian government is this little poor little thing that can't handle, you know, some software computer people. All right, so stop falling for that stupid narrative. All right, it's so embarrassing. If you want to label these companies something tech, you can call them popular tech, right? No different to how popular, you know, the Beatles or Michael Jackson or rock stars are. The truth is, there's another company could come along with a better social network, maybe up.network, and Facebook might become, you know, old school. So, you know, they're popular. I mean, don't forget, Apple almost went bankrupt at one point. Stop pretending that these are big, powerful companies. They're not. They're writing hard software, and we rely on them. That's really what it is. It's popular tech. So, you know, poor old Australia is going to lose, literally have a chilling effect to say, our citizens in Australia, we've got our coal, we've got our crocodiles, we can hunt kangaroos, but when it comes to sharing data freely, no. That's Rupert Murdoch. That's where you need to get it from, Australian citizens. So big mistake in Australia, big mistake. And it's a bit sad because I don't want Australia to do badly in the new tech industry, but they're making some major mistakes. The other major mistake is they've still got the 1990s telecom model of their internet over there. So Australia is really, I mean, you can see this as a way for New Zealand to quickly try to upgrade our tech industry and really push, because if you're an entrepreneur now in Sydney and you're trying to, I don't know, do another Salesforce, you know, I'm sure you people know what Salesforce is, and you want to do that and you're in Sydney, you're actually better, truly now, to come down, have a good handshake with Phil Goff, who is a genius, won't hear anything bad about him, and get a big old office downtown and do a Salesforce-type business from Auckland and sell your services through the world. It's probably better that than doing it from Sydney now. The only advantage in Sydney for big tech is the fact that they've got a Google data centres all around Australia. So they've got some big data centres. But the actual flow between, like, for example, let's say you're trying to do in Australia another Salesforce, okay? Salesforce is a customer relationship management suite. So let's say Australians come up with one called, I don't know, Aussie Kangaroo Salesforce, right? Kangaroo Force. And they, you know, got some people there. They've got all the suits. They've got all the money because, you know, Westpac Bank takes it all from us. So that's, and ANZ and ASB. So they've got all the money, and so they're down at Darling Harbour. And don't worry, I am jealous. This is a lot of bit of jealousy. So they're down at Darling Harbour right now, like your people. They'll have good beer but bad food. So if anyone's been to Darling Harbour, you'll get an overpriced pizza with some badly made cheese. They don't really understand. Sorry if you're Australian, but look, you've got good beer and got good other stuff, but your food is unbelievable. They won't give you vegetables. They don't really, honestly. You know, we got vegetables. No, they don't have like crisp, green, fresh vegetables like New Zealand. So you're in Darling Harbour, you got a smelly old pizza, right? Just cheese. Probably an old onion from the outback from Wollongong that's cut up, stuck on that pizza. And then they've got their big pints. Yeah, they don't really clean the glasses because there's so much water shortage that they can never clean them that well. Honestly, anyone had a beer in Darling Harbour, it's still got like 50 years of, you know, a few cockroach legs hanging out the bottom of it. And and apparently even in their health and safety, they're allowed to like 1% of cockroach matter in 100 tons of chocolate or something like that. Apparently they're allowed a tiny bit of cockroach in their food. Anyway, so you got this stinky big glass. Your mates have come down, right? And they're all fat because they all get so much money. They're all fat and got their all badly made suits. Okay, so this, like, I lived in, you know, Sydney for a while. This is a quintessential Friday night, you know. Got a business idea. Darling Harbour, cheap pizza, dirty glass. All right. Gosh, guys, Bruce, Struth, Jack, come and have a beer, mate. So they're sitting there, right? And then down Darling Harbour, probably doing this right now. Hey, let's make a new CRM. Let's compete with Salesforce. Make it here in Sydney. And your mates come along. Oh, God, blimey. And, of course, I get distracted because there's sports on the big TV. Hang on, mate. That's underarm. So they're watching that and they're going, all right, so what are we going to do? Well, we're going to set up a customer relationship management kangaroo force. We're going to make it here in Sydney. Fine. Okay, so they've got $1 billion of investors just sitting there now, you know, there's money falling over the table. So what they'll do, this is the truth, the first thing they'll do is they'll look for some computer people. And here's a sad, sad thing, which is really pretty painful, is often when they start looking for computer scientists to do this new, let's say, CRM, Kangaroo Force in Australia, no doubt they'll probably have quite a few CVs from really good computer scientists from New Zealanders. So pretty painful, but they'll be like, all right, we've got the big office, you know, down here. Secure the rent and let's get some software architects. And yeah, I mean, they've got great computer scientists there too, but you know, no disrespect, that when they'll put the add-on seat, they'll probably have some good Kiwi computer scientists. So I'm not saying, you know, they don't have their own, but they'll definitely have New Zealand ones amongst the pile of CVs. And then they'll probably build a team of about 40 people or 30 people, let's say. And they'll get the, you know, the wireframes, the UX people, the marketing people and all the rest, and they'll get them all around the table. And there'll be some, you know, ex-Kiwis who were working for Telecom but unrecognised because our CEOs and board of directors are all sponges. And anyway, and so the poor old Kiwi guy will be over there going, all right, yeah, got my CV. And then they'll get the office and they'll start doing a competition to Salesforce in Silicon Valley. Now, the Australians are good at business, so they'll get their sales hat on. They'll do that very well. They're getting capital is easy because of the bank. So this is in their favour. This is what, you know, keeps their innovation going to a degree. So have that, you know, and they'll be sitting around Darling Harbour. They'll work it all out. They'll all sign an agreement and they'll rent an office. And they'll be able to have enough money to get all these people, right? So that's what they've got going in their favour to do, you know, a big tick. Now, when these people start working, that's all good. They will probably start making, let's say, a product that serves the Australian community slightly better than Salesforce, for example, maybe, whatever. Now, they will develop that software there. But the thing that's holding them back over there that isn't holding us back, so, you know, we just need to go for this, is that so when they, you know, so they'll be doing probably doing mobile versions of the software. They'll be doing probably getting some footage of videos for the app and stuff. But basically the big thing is their local internet is terrible. So they might be contract some 3D animations for the app to, you know, the office at the top of Sydney or down Melbourne. And then when they go to start collaborating on software, I mean, I know people, you know, nowadays, if, for example, you're doing UX, which is big, you get what's called a sprint and you get an audience to look and see how they interact. Well, if you did that in Sydney right now and you had, you know, the little quality control office somewhere in Sydney and the developers somewhere else, all of a sudden you're trying to rely on 1990s Telstra communication, which is good, but not 2021, right? So now it's sort of like, all right, guys, well, let's set up a multi-conference call. Oh, God, we can't have the bandwidth for that so that we can't have all our offices working together. But, oh, well, I mean, they'll get around it, but it's always just going to be a little pokey. They won't be able to have multiple channel Zooms, won't be able to have multiple channels of collaboration on, let's say, a 3D animation they were working on, because their local net is pretty well, it's just okay, right? Which is not how you compete in a big tech. You can't have okay internet. But they'll be going, okay, so we got this software here, and okay, so we got someone zooming in here to help update us on our data science. Oh, hang on, he's lost his connection. Because, yeah, that's going to be always slowing down their ability to quickly have a team. If they want a contractor that's remote, they'll just be like, oh, you're in Melbourne, we can't remote to you and have you real time. You're just going to be constantly pushing data. So it's not a huge thing, but when you have got a modern team in computer science, you can't all just be stuck in one room. And you're constantly using bits of data from your community. You're constantly like, okay, let's install a logo set. Let's install some widget libraries. Let's collaborate on some AI from another part of town. And if your local net is constantly like, he's lost connection, buffered out, we lost that data, it was downloaded, but it was corrupted while downloading, your team is constantly going, oh, sorry, boss, I was going to have that uploaded, didn't upload it. We were trying to do reviews on our app, but everybody couldn't log in. It's just an impedance, right? It's just, what I mean, it's an impedance which is sort of like in the big tech world, it's the least worries you can kind of, you should really have, you know what I mean? Like in a modern city, the least thing you should be worrying about is, in a funny way, is your data connection pipes, right? It shouldn't really be an issue, but unfortunately with Australia, because they're sort of mostly monopolised Telstra, that's their day-to-day internet, right? And again, it's fine for sort of a couple of Netflix, but if you're trying to do a data company there, they're constantly going to have to beat that up. And it's entrenched, so they can't kind of just go, oh, let's just, you know, run a different fibre. They can't. So that's one thing, right? Okay, so that's one issue they've got against them there. Going for them is the fact that the Google's already there with a data centre. So they do have that ability to have the actual data and people to walk down to their, you know, the data centre. But let's just say New Zealand, the one thing that on that is in our favour is our data centres are very unregulated. I'm pretty much a fan generally for unregulation. Our data centres are so unregulated. We've got them all around the place, little private ones, and they're pretty cool. And you can almost just give people, you know, a bag of chocolates now and you'll get access to a data centre in New Zealand. There's so many friends of friends who are just like, look, I need some space in a data centre all around New Zealand. And we don't have all the security and complexity. So most data centres, depending on, you know, who you are, you'll find a data centre in New Zealand from next to nothing in cost. And you'll have access to it. And you won't have to go through a labyrinth of regs. So, you know, so that's one good thing. So you'll be able to, you know, sort of talk to, you know, the likes of Orcon or the city data centre and just go, yep. And also our hardware is cheap. So because we've got a good deal with China, We import servers and you can just pick them up on Trade Me. So, you know, there's nothing stopping a small business, you know, working in New Zealand to say, oh, look, we want to do some, we've got some software. Well, you literally walk down and pick up from PB a little cheap server. And the same day, you could probably ring up someone with a data center and go and put it in. And so that is one thing about our data centers, they're so nimble and flexible. All right. So there's a sort of almost a match there. Australia's got the big Google data center, which is a lot better than the Microsoft data center. Let's not play this, you know, PC game. And then so they've got the huge data center there. But then for a nimble company, Auckland's better because there's so much variety and no plethora to get in them. So that's, you know, I'd almost say in a funny way that advantage goes to New Zealand, because even if you're doing a huge big tech company, well, you're not going to be hosting it in Australia or New Zealand, you'll be hosting it in the States. So that's one. So that's a good thing. So let's say the two advantages. So the two advantages is in Auckland to do a big tech or to tech is well, not as big tech, but no. This is more about Australia, really. But anyway, look, that's all I'm saying about Australia. But the other thing, what Australia does have going, you know, vis-a-vis, they've just, the two disadvantages, which is, you know, the truth is because of their industrial relations, you know, they can get performance out of staff. So, I mean, let's be blunt. I mean, they do have the head start pretty much on 90% of everything to do business. The only tiny thing, which probably isn't a big thing now I think about it, is the fact that, yeah, I'm kind of like trying to blow smoke, you know. The truth is, yeah, New Zealand's pretty far behind. Yeah, who are we kidding, right? Let's keep cutting down trees and selling milk. We'll never catch up. Well, you won't. I'm off to do cool stuff. I'm too smart for this country. But anyway, that's basically your Australian thing. But anyway, long story short, is this idea that they're hating on Facebook. And it's a bit silly. But anyway, this round I want to go to Facebook, this first win. And that is because using an old-fashioned law just to stop Facebook is silly. I think what I'd like to see is Facebook, Google win the moral argument, and Australia gets a little bit of an egg on their face, because they're, you know, we're the best, but actually they lose this round, and Google and Facebook just go, fine, see ya. And the Australian citizens just go, oh my God, this is not cool. We've just literally got Rupert Murdoch now and his propaganda. Yeah, and basically vote the Morrison government out. And I think that's how I want it to go. I do. Because what I would like is a much more intellectual solution to the internet. And while I've got your ears, all three of my... No. While I've got your ears, let me tell you the way that the solution should go, all right? So the solution should go something like, first of all, stop sort of beating up on tech. Stop hating them. They're actually awesome for us. So let's just start with the game. The moral is not with you people, and the moral is actually with Facebook and Google. They've provided amazing service because they're computer scientists, and most of us didn't, you know, do our masters in computer science, all right? So stop pretending they're the baddies. They're not. They're the ones that basically got smart and made a cool product. We need it, all right? So that's where you kind of start from, okay? It's your Google, your Facebook, most of Apple, all right? You know, your Salesforce, your Instagram, you know, even Twitter, as much as I hate that guy. So that's fine. That's who they are. So stop. They did nothing wrong, quite frankly. They've innovated and made a cool product and made it accessible. Right, stop. There's nothing they've done wrong on that. They go, here's our product. Do you like our product? And we're going, yes, we like our product. So stop being so pathetic. It's almost like saying, oh, we hate Toyota because they're popular in New Zealand. Who? Oh, Toyota's this big company. We hate Toyota. No, because they make bloody good cars. We choose to buy them, you idiots. Right, so they're good. They're not bad. So, and the governments, let's not pretend the power should go back to the governments. My God, who you think you are, people? You really think the governments should be running all our information for us? Right. Let's see where that goes. So it's the big tech companies are not a problem. Right. Matt, what is going on? What is going on? Why are traditional people and conservative governments, sort of people, old school, not getting with this program, and why is this a sort of big contradiction going on? And how do we get to a place where we benefit, right? Okay, so so there's a few things. And this is really sad if we don't get this right, because quite frankly, it's really hurting me, because the internet is incredible freedom, okay, to do exploration and innovation. But that necessitates an intellectual and advanced culture, a society. And quite frankly, you all humans on the planet Earth are really not living up to that. It's really sad. The internet is so free that it actually necessitates a slightly mature population in the world. A human that can self-regulate their own choices. We're on that edge now where you've proven yourself to be such twats, sort of the population, that governments are starting to try to have to say, look, we can't trust you basically on the internet. And that's really sad. And that's not the government, that's not big tech, it's your lazy ignorance and your lazy ability to be self-discerning with information, self-regulating what you do on the internet. All right, so there's different ways of going, but basically, the internet was almost like before its time, hoping that the population could be trusted worldwide to use this incredible tool for the well-being of all. But let's hope that we can get back to that where people are sort of enlightened to use the internet responsibly. And in a funny way, it almost needs, we need to, you know, how can we start solving it? I mean, my gut feeling is that we've got a lot of people now who are just, you know, you almost need to bring back the corporal punishment in schools, you know, the old stick and cane, because, you know, we don't have consequences. But anyway, now, we got the internet, it's free. Now, again, the population, some of you have been responsible, but I'm just sort of on that edge of how, if you people weren't so lazy and stupid, that we could have the free internet. It basically would need a lot more consequences in society to get the population back to responsibility. I'm thinking like sort of some basic things, like I think we should have boxing classes at high schools, and so all teenagers learn a good boxing fight and get punched in the face a few times, because we're sort of creating a whole lot of just lazy twats who don't really take their responsibilities, and you don't learn it even when you do your job, because if you don't like your boss, you just get the dole. So it's very hard to create consequences in on the planet. You know, we need almost sort of a bit of the old Roman Catholic discipline back in the culture. I don't know how to implement that in a way. It's almost like we get into a place where there'll be people trusted on the internet and people that are not, you know. And if you're not trusted on the internet, you're relegated to kind of like literally digging drains, moving horse manure, planting trees, you know, almost back to the 1800s where there's a real class system, you know, and it's only the upper class and the middle class that get access to this worldwide web, and the peasants literally are just treated like, you know, dirt in your old dirty brown hat, and, you know, and your black teeth, and you probably got your black plague, and you don't know information. It's almost going that way, and you almost need a, you're not middle class, you don't get on the internet. Because, you know, we are allowing average people on the internet, and look what you're doing. It's disgusting. So somehow, unless we have a solution, I'll leave that to the audience. If we can have a solution to get the sort of the grand unwashed on how to learn to be responsible and then almost allow them on the internet again. Because it's free, it's not regulated, and there's no self-regulation as well. You have to be mature on the internet. The classic example is, you know, commenting on a YouTube video. The amount of people that just comment terrible comments because no one knows who you are. You can just, you know, you can be racist, you can be sexist, you can be rude on YouTube and make a comment, and there's no repercussions for you. Except your own dignity, your own self-regulation. And this is, you know, and a mature society understands that because there's no ability to know who you are and no ability to, if you insult someone on YouTube, there's no ability, no, nothing happens to you. A mature society goes, well, then it's more but becoming for me to be responsible when I comment on YouTube and only say something, you know, that's good about that YouTube, or, you know, well done. And you know, that's kind of the gift to mankind that you guys are not fulfilling, you know. And that's why, unfortunately, now we're getting governments having to mummy us because we haven't been able to be mature. It's pretty pathetic. There is potentially an option. How would I do it? I would probably go down a route myself of using a cryptocurrency and implementing a sort of a cryptocurrency and moving away from, you know, your traditional telecom or Vodafone internet service providers have proven themselves useless. They're more interested in the rainbow flag of the icon than anything innovative. So what we, and I really think, truly, within a few years, you'll be surprised how Vodafone, Spark, and 2degrees become, you'll be amazed. People will be like, how did they just disappear? I'm like, yeah. And I think what's going to happen is there'll be more and more innovation in telecommunications. I think Elon Musk will start giving internet to the world more and more. And all of a sudden, you'll just be like, what? I'm like, connect my stupid phone to Vodafone, those old farts, and you'll go direct. You'll go direct to these really uber telecommunications companies, from satellite to super Wi-Fi, you know, resonance in the ground, whatever, through power. You know, Vector might even run a service through the power lines, whatever. But when we get to that point, what I think will happen is you'll need to use cryptocurrency to access these services. And there'll naturally be a divide in the society of the intellectual people and the dumb people. The ones who understand cryptocurrency and navigate these new technologies will be using them, right? So here will be an example, right? So let's say in a couple of years, Apple makes the new iCar they're talking about, and they start their own internet company through satellites. And Apple go, look, to use these services, we recommend using the Apple cryptocurrency, for example. And, you know, you'll need to sort of understand IP addresses so you can kind of like, you know, sign up because they'll probably only release it in America to start with. And then all the smart people will be able to, you know, spoof their IP. And then they'll be able to buy these services. And then you'll see a part of society that has access to modern services. And the other part of society who uses traditional money with, let's say, Vodafone, will only have access to the old services, right? So let's say Apple and Google create another new social network, or another company. Let's say even like part of Elon Musk's company makes a new social network, but he's like, look, it's we can't be bothered with credit cards. We're only using Elon Musk's cryptocurrency. Then all of a sudden, Elon will say, and also you have to use our ISP to connect to this new social network. And then Vodafone won't have access to it, but they'll go, well, you can still use Facebook. But then there'll be consumers going, well, I'm sophisticated. I'm not using old-fashioned Vodafone and Facebook. I'm going to use the Elon Musk's new social network, and I'll be using his cryptocurrency to pay for that service. And then you'll have, let's say, a doctor in America that does consulting for you, and he's the best. And he will go, yeah, look, I'm only interested in crypto services. And then you'll have a university who accepts that cryptocurrency. And then you'll find there's a break in society between those real people that provide top services, and they'll be using a cryptocurrency to do that. And all of a sudden you'll go, oh my God, well, I live in that world, so I have access to really good quality journalism. You know, only the best journalists who dedicate their lives to this, they accept this cryptocurrency. I'll have access to the rideshare system with Apple. And so because of my cryptocurrency, I can just kind of travel the world, probably the airlines that specialize in this. You know, oh, I don't use that airline, they're old school. I only use this new electric jet, you know, and they've got this cryptocurrency, and therefore I'm in a hotel chain that does this cryptocurrency. And then your world becomes this kind of really sophisticated world, right? So it's like, oh, yep, I've got my crypto watch. Yep, just scan through. I don't have paperwork. I've got this new service. I go to my airport. Bang, I'm in this new airline. I'm off to San Fran. When we go to the hotel, they accept this cryptocurrency. We've gone to a big resort with Elon Musk's to talk some tech, to buy tickets you needed the cryptocurrency. Then you might get a gig doing some, I don't know, they want someone to test beta code, and you get a job in an office in Silicon Valley, and they're like, oh, look, you've got a choice. Which currency would you like? Would you like to be paid in this crypto? And you're like, well, look, that's my world. The coffee shop accepts it, and there's a cool hairdresser. And then you get a divide in society between this new sophisticated world. I think that's where it's going. And I think opposed to it being sort of like the 1800s, where there's a divide by socioeconomic divide, there'll be a net divide between people that sort of inform themselves and understand, you know, these new complex services. And then all these regulations that the governments are putting on are just going to be making it harder for other people to get on board. So they'll be, you know, regulating, for example, Vodafone more and more and more, and regulating Facebook. But then these new sophisticated services will go like, yeah, good on you, you know, good on you. And be honest, this is already happening. I mean, you know, there's so many services where the tech people like myself, we don't even know what's on Netflix New Zealand, because we use, Netflix America. We just change our IP address. And, you know, already we're getting different services. Like other examples are like, well, there's just so many where if you're up with the tech, you can do different things. I mean, you know that you can even buy power now, not through your normal power providers, but through independent peer-to-peer software relationships where you buy your neighbor's power if they've got a solar panel, and vice versa. Like, if you get into the real tech world, you live a different, like a parallel universe to the existing world. And these governments are just sort of regulating the old tech more and more. And that's not making, like, that's just making the people that are stuck under that harder and harder and harder to sort of, you know, be free. So anyway, that's what's sort of happening. And I think that's the only way to do it, because, you know, like I say, becoming on your, you know, the population, you literally pretty much all of you, my audience, who you've been trusted this incredible internet, and you're not living up to your side of the bargain. I know, I know most of you, you're often rude on the internet. You don't inform yourself with what's good news. Even basic stuff like open source software, you know, that should be something that we learn about. We should be learning about open source software. So you're going to end up being stuck having to use Microsoft software for everything. You won't have learned anything else. And therefore, you'll find old services that you're used to will just keep going up in price. For example, the herald.co.nz, you know, they've got a paywall. And you'll be stuck more and more on that. Yet there's so many free newspapers that a lot of people don't know about. And Yeah, it's sort of sad where the government's thinking they're helping you by saying, oh, well, look, the big tech companies are not your friend. Let's force Facebook not to be able to use Rupert Murdoch's media empire on their website. And now Australians are going to be getting all their news generally probably by, you know, Sky News on their TV and the Sky website, which is Rupert Murdoch, and they'll probably be having to go back to Gumtree to talk to each other. You know, and then they'll do photo sharing. No doubt they'll probably, I don't know what they're going to do for photo sharing. They'll probably go back to some sort of, I don't know how they're going to do it. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they start having to pay to upload photos to something like Dropbox now to share their photos amongst friends. And all of a sudden they'll just find that they're getting left behind, you know. You know, so anyway, that's kind of the big, trying to change the narrative of the media telling you the big tech's bad, and I don't know where to go. It's just sort of, I mean, I gotta be hard. I gotta realize that life isn't, I gotta look after number one first, myself. I gotta be rich, famous, and fruitful. I don't really owe anyone anything, and therefore if you don't want to be informed, you don't want to learn stuff, if you're just going to listen to Jack Tame and sports news, it's sort of on you, really. But anyway, that's big tech, Facebook, Australia making a mistake, and I don't know, if you want a real new social network, maybe have a start looking at what I'm building, which is up.network. Up.network, it's going to be big. So trying to release a new competition to LinkedIn, actually. And, if you ever want to interested on that, it's a big project. But, again, doing a startup in New Zealand is, it's so close to impossible. Anyway, take care, people.